Y'all ready for this graduation weekend? Did all your partying? We had a rare sighting yesterday. Dean and Vicky showed. They usually don't do those things, but just a rare sighting. Who's all graduated? All you graduates, come on up. You graduated this year from high school, college. Come on up. I know there's one more, it's Connor, but he's not here today. I think they went out of town. You can stand right there. Just gonna honor these young men. You can face me. You can face me. And you can back up a little bit. So you don't get some of that Holy Ghost spit on you. It's a pretty awesome feat to be able to graduate and go on in life, and you know, it's, you're getting ready to go out into the world, and the thing about it is that the world ain't nice. And so we need tough young men and women to stand up there. I said, but also, it's not just to be tough, it's to not compromise. And if you can compromise without climbing, that is a beautiful thing. That's an awesome thing. Because whatever you compromise in order to get to the top will eventually control you at the top. And Daniel was a great example of that in life when him and his friends purposed not to defile themselves, and they ended up changing a whole nation because of it. It was their relationship with God is the number one thing that you need to have when you're going on. Because it's going to be good for you, and not just for you, but for your household as well. So, if y'all would just stretch your hands out to these young men, we'll pray. Father God, we just thank you for these young men today. We thank you for, Lord, that they're graduating and they're moving on to better things that you have for them, Lord. And Father God, we just believe that you will order their footsteps in every way, Lord. And we just believe that their hands are blessed, and everything that they do, they will prosper in all things, Lord. And they will honor and glorify you all the days of their life, Lord. And we just thank you, and we give you praise for protection in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we have these gifts for you. Wesley Scott Oakley. There you go. We've got this for you. We didn't have a card for you. We got this for you, Gavin. Good job. Give this young man a hand. God bless you. I went over to Connor's house yesterday, and I think I grabbed the wrong card or something. And so he read it, and there was no money in it. And that was for this today. And it's like, well, if you come to church tomorrow, you'll... Well, he ain't here, so I'm keeping it. I'm going out to eat. That's it's a good day. Eric, what did you graduate? I mean, what was your degree in? That's good. Good thing. Well, part two of Let's Roll. This is the men's edition. You men, you ready for today? Yeah. If you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. It didn't say submit to somebody else's husband. Submit to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This submission has limits for some of the men here. If the husband is submitted to Christ, then his wife should be submitted to him. If the husband is submitted to Christ, you don't have to fully submit to your husband if he's not submitted to Christ, because he can have you doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Okay? So asking your wife to submit to something outside of Christ and outside the boundaries of God's will for you both is not something that you should have to submit to. So if the husband is asking the wife to sin in any way, shape, or form, in any area, you don't have to yield to that. Okay? You tell him, get in line. You need to be the head, because Jesus, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Jesus is not going to have you do something that is going to cause you to fall. And you shouldn't do that with your wife as well. Amen. Now, I shared a little bit about the disrespect in that aspect of it. Men need to be respected in the household. They're called to wives are called to respect their husbands. Husbands are called to love their wives. Because respect will equal love, and disrespect equals hate. So when you disrespect your husband, you're basically showing how much you don't like him. And part of that disrespect is basically when he'd share something to you. I did my own little poll. How many men like sharing their feelings and emotions, and not one single hand raised up? And that's good, because that's the truth. We don't sit there and talk about our feelings and emotions and anything like that, because we'd rather just go on about our business, you know? Something happens, let's just keep on going. It's just how we are. But if they do get to the place to where they do share something with you that's private, that's for there. That's for your home. And that's for God to anoint, God to heal, God to restore. But when you take that and take it somewhere else, you're disrespecting him. You're showing that you don't care about him in that arena. Okay? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Well, I'm the spiritual leader of the house. I don't need to be doing it. It's you got to do what I need to do. You got to do what I'm telling you to do. Well, that ain't the attitude. And sometimes we may have that attitude. Whether we say it or whether we demonstrate it, sometimes that's our attitude. And that's not the attitude that Jesus has with the church. It's not a dictatorship. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and even if he does not force you to do anything you don't want to do. So you don't try to force your wife to do something that she doesn't want to do. He's the example. Husbands need respect. Wives need unconditional love. You can treat your wife like kind of like fine china, so to speak. Fine china, you got to handle it delicately. You place it on the table. You show it off to people. Look at my china hutch and my fine china. If you come to our house, you'll have Dixie paper plates in there. Kristen does not like plates. She likes plasticware, easy to throw away. But see, the way we're supposed to treat our wives is like that china, not like the paper plate. You use it and throw it away. She's delicate. She needs that love. She needs that attention. She needs to be loved like Christ. I said, so we don't give them the knockoff version of God's love ever. Sometimes we may feel like it when they get under our skin. You want to say something? You're not going to be perfect in that. Understand that. How many? I'm not going to take another poll because I don't want to see the hands. Words. Sometimes our husbands, we know the words that will actually trigger our wives at times. But can you just imagine just taking a little steel ball and throwing it at that china? Every single time you say something, it triggers them. It gets them to the place of where they're feeling discontent. They're emotional. They become unstable or what have you. It could be just three words, and you know it just gets under their skin a little bit. And sometimes, you know, if you got a tough wife, she'll go right back at you. I came into the room this morning, and I was like, babe, she was getting, you know, putting on her makeup or something. And I was like, do you think I need to shave? I had my hair. Because yesterday I was wearing a ball cap, and I had to wear my ball cap because there's little bald spots right here. And I hadn't shaved, so I was all grayed up and everything. And she goes, well, your hair is fine, but your face is jacked up or something. Your hair looks better, or better yet, your hair looks better than your face. That's what she said. I'm like, all right, I'll shave it all off. No remorse whatsoever. Good night. You see what she does to me, y'all? But I'm still going to love her. Huh? Don't ask. I want the truth, so you got to ask. Treat her like fine china. When you're fully submitted to God, you never have to resort to manipulative tactics like that. Why? Because the love that Jesus has for the church doesn't come with manipulating tactics. You don't ever have to do that. You'll find more, you'll get more out of your wife when you're fully submitted to God and then she's fully submitted to you. Your responsibility is to love her. Her responsibility is to respect you. And even if she's not doing her job, you continue to do yours. The example that Jesus sets when he was there, I mean, when they're sitting at the table, you know, the Bible says that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. They were over here trying to discuss who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Unless you become like one of these young ones here and become a servant. And then he got up, wrapped the towel around his waist and began washing his feet, his disciples' feet. He truly served. And that's what we're supposed to do as husbands, is serve our wives as well. For the most part, she used to do all everything. I said, so she didn't win me over. I said, my wife didn't win me over when I started coming to church on a regular basis by words. It was just going one ear and out the other. She won me by her actions. And sometimes we have to do that too. Men, we got to win by our actions, even if she doesn't want to submit, even if she doesn't want to, you know, there's disrespect. Your disrespect, her disrespect to you does not mean you treat her like a paper plate. That's still fine china. That's still God's daughter. That's still your wife. And that's going to be tough for you because you know what? For every action, there's a reaction. And I know some people that know how to throw blows with their words. And sometimes it's funny. And other times it's hurtful. You just got to know within your household what's good. You understand? I said, sometimes you can play with that and everything else. I said, but be honest with yourselves. Did that hurt? Yeah, it did. Well, get over it. Jesus is a standard. It doesn't matter if you're killing it on your job. It doesn't matter if you're getting promoted. It doesn't matter if everyone likes you out there in the community. If your marriage is hanging on by a thread, what good is all that? You're not killing it at home now. That's the first, that's your ministry right there, is your family. So after you received everything you wanted in life and your marriage is not strong enough to withstand another storm, was it all worth it? And the answer will always be no. It's never worth it. Your marriage is so important. Because your children need it. You need it. This nation needs it. Tearing families apart because of the policies and everything that's going on and every which way and how our culture is. They need stronger families that will stand on the word of God. Okay. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. To sanctify means to make holy or to set apart. Husbands, your responsibility is to sanctify your home, to sanctify your wife. Your wife may have had a past that is all jacked up and everything else. Your responsibility is to have her to leave that past and present her to her a better future. You don't continue to throw that in her face. So you're supposed to take that past, leave it behind, just like as we come as a new believer in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's the same way it happens with your wife. When y'all get married, she may have some baggage here and there. You're supposed to take care of that baggage and present her with some new luggage, some Louis Vuitton stuff, rather than the Walmart brands. Now we're going to travel. We're going to do it right. Jesus doesn't hold your past against you. So you shouldn't be holding your past, your spouse's past, against her. All right? You love her as Christ left the church. You receive him as your Lord and Savior. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So within your marriage, you kind of, not to be all over sanctimonious or what have you, but you kind of be a savior for your wife. Jesus is not throwing your past failures in your face, and you shouldn't be doing that to your wife, because your responsibility is to sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Speak well of your wife. Stop saying, sorry, we have to quit saying what we want to see. What we see, we have to say what we have to speak what we want to see. Proverbs 31 says this. You can speak this over your wife. I pray this several times over my wife. And it's working. She doesn't know it is working. Ha ha ha. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You can speak that over your wife every single day. Compared to, well, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that, she won't clean, she won't cook, she won't do this, and every which way. Speaking the word of God is going to change things in your life, whether you believe that or not. I don't believe that confession stuff. That confession stuff works. You wouldn't be saved if it didn't work. It works. You just got to start bumping your gums. It works. And this is why I love Seed Time and Harvest. Well, it's not going on. My wife is just miserable. She's just always moody and everything else. She doesn't do this. And I said, listen, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but here's the thing. I may repeat it again. Your wife is basically like a mirror. And she reflects back to you how you've been treating her. So if she's walking around miserable, it's because you're making her miserable. So if she's radiant and happy and everything else, well, you go ahead. You're doing good. You're doing well. If your wife is not respecting you in the manner that she should, even though you are setting a good example for her and your children, you continue to love her and you continue to pray for her. You don't ever stop doing those two. You will win her over not by your words, but more so by your actions, by responding with grace. Grace is the key. Jesus took you from your mess and cleaned you up. And just like the prodigal son, when he came to his senses, he was in that pigsty, came to his senses, and it's like, you know what, I'm going back to my dad's house, and I can eat. The servants eat better than I do. They get treated better. But the father has seen him. ran and met him, had them bring out the best robe, kill the fattest cow and everything. I mean, they treated him nice. This is what Jesus does to us. So when you're dealing with your wife and she's gone through all that stuff, this is how you treat her. You love her just as Christ loved the church. Jesus does that to us. And that's a beautiful thing. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body, and he who loves his wife loves himself. I'm back in Ephesians if you can find that scripture. So if you believe that you are married to a wife that is always grumping, then you might need to check up on how you're treating her. You should be having her floating on cloud nine. I'm my wife's hype man. I'm a hype man. Even when she's in leopard pajamas and sweatshirt, you girl, you look good. So, whatever. I'm serious. I don't think there's a day that I don't tell her she looks good. That's my trophy wife. Well, she's more than that, but you know, somebody gotta look good. Even though she's making fun of my face. Jesus serves the church. He said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you have to become like the youngest and the leader, like the servant. It's time for us to start serving our wives. We're supposed to treat her like the weaker. 1 Peter 3. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The weaker vessel doesn't necessarily mean spiritually, emotionally, or mentally. It means physically. She's weaker. Again, my wife isn't physically weaker. She's pretty strong. She can move some furniture. But in that sense, we're supposed to treat it like that. So we can take on that load because we're created that way. We can take on that load. We can take on the burdens of those things. That's not for your wife to do. So men have to spiritually step up in those households. Well, I'm not married. It's a good start. Seed time and harvest for when you get into your next relationship. It says, for no one, going back to Ephesians, hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. If you don't like the way your wife looks, examine how you've been treating her. Because she should reflect that in herself. If she's happy, that's a good thing. If she's not, you might need to check up on that. That's a self-examination. Everyone is in a different place. Everyone. So there ain't no need to look at, well, his wife is... No. It's self-examination. Stop trying to look at other people. There's a story of a father who had two daughters. And one of his daughters was, just the oldest one was very, very homely. I mean, she wasn't very good looking at all. Ugh. And the other one, the youngest one, was beautiful. There was a rich man, and they found out that this rich man was coming into town, and he was going to take a wife and one of his daughters. And he was bringing cattle along with him. Well, the father began saying, telling his youngest daughter, you go ahead and get ready. you go ahead and get ready, and we're going to prepare you to be able to receive. Because he started thinking, man, he's coming with some cattle. I'm going to get paid, you know. And then the man comes, and he says, you know, basically says he doesn't want the younger one. He wants the older one. And he ended up paying 10 cows for the oldest one. Well, father was kind of perplexed, but he said, all right, let's go ahead. Well, a little later, the father ends up visiting his daughter and her husband. And he couldn't believe it. I mean, he was amazed at how she looked. She looked beautiful, radiant, just thriving. And she's like, what happened? She goes, well, when I seen how much my husband valued me, I thought I'd become a 10-cow woman. And it's how you begin treating your wife. I said, when she feels valued, when she feels loved, when she feels nurtured, when she feels cherished, I'm telling you, you'd be having steak every night. what you want to eat, baby? You need a sandwich? No, I just ate. That's all right. I'll get you some. Listen, when you value her, it'll take it to another level. When you devalue her, problems. More problems. And here's the thing. We're not exempt from problems. It's going to come. It's going to come up. But problems don't have to have you. You'll have problems, but problems don't have to have you. Amen. So, man, here's the thing. We got to step up. I wasn't there. But the first thing I had to do was get right with the Lord. I had to make him first. And when you make him first in your own marriage, you're on your way. Because there's always seed, time, and harvest. And you're thinking it's going to happen overnight. It won't. Now, God can truly anoint you and change. There's the story of a man who was mistreating his wife. I think Bill Winston tells this story. And the Lord visited him in the middle of the night and said, if you don't treat your wife right, you ain't going to make it any longer. And he woke up just in a cold sweat and panicked and was apologetic and, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I mean, and he treated her with so much love and compassion. The child that they had, they named her Love. I mean, he just totally changed his ways. Now, unless you want a visit from the Lord, we have to do right by our wives. Again, you're not going to be perfect. But whatever you're going through, allow God to restore that. Allow God to help you in that area. If you don't know, I didn't even know how to pray when we got married. Because, again, we did everything backwards. And so some of my prayers, even over dinner, was the same thing Pastor West was saying all the time. So I just cabbaged onto that. And then it progressed a little more and stuff like that. Well, you got to start somewhere. Because our prayer was basically when 7 men around the table, God, thank you for this food. Amen. Which was something. We were thankful. But it progresses. I just don't know how to lead. I said, man, we've got so much material out there. You can find a way to lead. And number one thing is in the Word. So if you don't know how to love your wife as Christ loved the church, it's in the Word. God won't ever force you to do anything. We shouldn't be forcing our wives to do stuff that she doesn't want to do. It's unconditional. She's fine china. Amen. Treat her that way. Because every little remark is like a steel BB just going through it. Pow. Y'all get something out of that? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And I thank you that you are an awesome God. And Father, we thank you for these men in here, that you're raising them up, not just here, but all over the world, Lord. That's going to stand on your truth. That's not going to back down from what the Word says. It's not going to back down from any evil. Lord, we thank you that till we go out with boldness to be able to see what you've called them to do. We thank you for those who are standing in the gap. Hallelujah. He shut up. We thank you. We thank you for lives, hearts healed, broken from past relationships, Lord, that you begin to start stirring that up in them. Hallelujah. We just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.